Hey, y'all, welcome to episode 186, a special episode of the Late Night Vision Show. This is the Thanksgiving extravaganza episode.
And wow, that sounds important. Extravaganza.
Exactly. That's why I said it. I wanted to get everybody's attention. So the other voice that you're hearing online, which you probably already know, Jason Robertson, the owner of Outdoor Legacy Gear. I figure if I said extravaganza, that would get people to want to tune in and stay with the show. But
wow.
And that always makes it sound more important, right?
It does. It sounds so important that it surprised me, and I can't wait to stick around because that's
yeah, you don't know what's going to happen.
Extravaganza.
It's extravaganza. You never know what's going to happen in extravaganza. But I'll tell you this. We want to thank y'all for joining us. If you are listening the day it comes out, it is Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to all of you. If you're driving with your family to go to the in-laws' house to watch football, eat turkey, be thankful for the family, argue with everybody about politics. I don't know what everybody's family does.
Sounds like luckily, what y'all do. I know what y'all do at your house. Yeah.
Luckily, everybody in our family all agrees with each other on politics, so it's not that big of a deal.
All voting for Biden in 2024, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll tell you, really, it's just a bunch of guys sitting around lying about stuff, stories that they had, whether it's hunting stories, fishing stories, golf stories, whatever. It's a lot of fibbing going on. That's funny. it's a good time.
You know,
thank y'all again.
Somebody's going to hear that and think y'all are really voting for Biden. So that's the funniest part.
Oh, it's nice. You actually think my family listens to the show. It is Thanksgiving, y'all. Thanksgiving 2021. We've got, we've done several different styles of show. In the past we've done wives shows, and we have banned the wives. We told y'all one day that we were going to do it, and we actually did. We banned the wives from the Thanksgiving extravaganza show. That's not the truth at all.
It's not at all the truth.
No, we may down the road do another wife show, but our wives are very busy right now, and I don't know if they even wanted to be on the show, to tell you the truth. So we're going to save that for another time. But anyway, we have got this week, we're talking about all the questions from the listeners. You know, we get so many emails, y'all, and keep them coming. You know, send them right to Jason, attach them and ask for Jason to reply personally. but we get so many emails and lots of great questions, lots of good show topics. And if you got a show topic that you want to hear or you want to know more about, definitely let us know. A great way to do that too is in the comments of this video.
That's the best place
on YouTube. Yeah, if you're on YouTube, do it. If you're on iTunes or listening on the audio only version, you can obviously email us or head over to the YouTube channel and leave us a comment there. But yeah, that's a really good way. We read and go through all these comments very regularly. So thank you for that. But yeah, we're going to do a listener's question and answer show. And these always make me nervous because it can get sideways very quickly. You never know where it's going to go with some of these questions. But I think we've got some good ones. I'm excited about that. But, you know, we've got this is one of these shows we have work to get to because we've got so many things to talk about between now and the end of the year. But we also know that this is probably not the great day to talk about scopes. It's about family. It's about being thankful for them. We have a lot to be thankful for. You and I personally, professionally, business-wise, have been extremely blessed.
Yes.
Thank y'all for calling in and giving us your business or giving us the opportunity to earn your business. So many of you call in on a daily basis and talk about the show and that you watch. And you said, well, you know, if you got questions about scope and you're looking to buy, you say, give you a call. So, you know, taking you up on your offer and thank you for that. We really appreciate it. And it has been, Jason, as you know, it has been today, this whole week has just been nuts. Absolutely nuts.
It has been. We're recording the show, even later than usual because, we're just absolutely slammed, which is great. I mean, it is a blessing, and we'll talk about that a little more at the end of the show. I mean, if we have some time here, we can talk about a little more what's going on and just be honest about a lot of the things we are thankful for. But I want to jump in on this show and get this ball rolling. There are several questions here. I'm going to be 100% honest. Hans, executive producer, put all this together.
I chose the questions.
I have not completely read all of these because we've been so busy. They printed off on my printer down there. I grabbed them, ran up here, jumped in front of the microphone. And, it, you know, if you see me looking down here, I'm trying to figure out what the questions are going to be. So it's going to be kind of a surprise to me as it is to y'all. So
yeah,
I don't have
prepared like,
answers for all this. So it may be interesting.
It's kind of like when the Rolling Stones take the stage and somebody hands Mick Jagger the microphone right before he goes on stage, you know, from his gets out of his stretch limousine. That's Jason, Mick Jagger.
That's
just
not
hand
exactly.
him the show notes and he just makes his magic. So
yeah, exactly.
We've got six questions, Jason. We got three for you, three for me.
Okay.
And you've got a list of them, so you're going to read mine. But yeah, so I was initially thinking about coming up with 10 of them, and you're like, no, that's too many. We'll never get through the six right. that we got in a 45-minute show. So that's I'm going right. to start it out. And I don't know if I'm going to pronounce these names of these cities correctly. So
as long as you're close.
Who knows? If I mess it up, I apologize. So this question is from Tim from, I'm going to say, Platteville, Wisconsin.
Okay.
If I'm mispronouncing that, I apologize, but it looks like Platteville, Wisconsin.
We'll go for it.
We'll go for it. Love the show. I am a coyote hunter from Wisconsin, and I am in over my head trying to decide on a thermal scope. My question is, I see scopes that are 384 resolution, 12 micron, and 640 resolution, 17 micron. What's more important, high resolution or lower micron? Well, you're getting started with like a scientific question. Yeah. You couldn't ease right into it and get like
a
funny question.
This is one of those things where my real advice is to pick up your phone and call 877-350-1818. And that's going to get you to Outdoor Legacy, to Hans or I, and we'll help advise you on what you need. So here's the thing. The problem is that I'm going to answer this question, but there's so much more of a backstory here that I really need. I want to know what you're doing and how you're hunting. I want to know more about the magnification. That's something that's left out of this. So generally speaking, I would much rather have a 640 high resolution scope. I mean, the resolution beats out the microns. When we're talking about the difference in 12 and 17, it's fairly minor. I'm not saying there's not an improvement when you go from a 384 17 to a 384 12 or a 640 12 and a 640 17. But I can tell you right now, there are some 640 17s on the market, okay, 17 micron, that look better than 640 12s.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. I was going to say the same thing because, obviously resolution is the more important number.
Definitely.
But yeah.
And it's
you.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, you're right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's examples of 17 micron 640 scopes that do have better picture. And you're probably going in this direction. And this is your question. I hijacked it. But a lot of it has to do with firmware and software.
That's it. Right. Now it is. And so I know the real question here is, do I go 384 12 or 640 17? I don't think that's you just I had a guy today that was asking me about he had a particular 384 scope, and he had a good particular 640 scope. And he was like, compare those two. And I said, I won't do it because you're comparing a half ton and a one ton. And that's exactly what I told him. I was like, man, this doesn't compare. I mean, there's $2,000 and 300 pixels between these. You know, it's not gonna work. So the answer this exact question for what's his name, Tim. Tim, you need to buy if this is in the budget and all that, buy a 640 scope. I mean, if that's what you're looking for, buy the 640. But again, I mean, that's my quick general answer. I don't care if it's 17 or 12. But the other thing that, you know, again, we won't go down this big, long rabbit trail. We've talked about it many times on the show before. Magnification, magnification, magnification. If you buy a 2-power 640 scope and you zoom it to 4-power, you would have been better off buying a 4-power 384 scope, probably. You know, because I mean, if that's the way you're hunting, if 2-power, like, is never going to cut it, I mean, I'm out here on these big fields and I'm always going to be shooting at four power. Well, then right. you should have bought a 384 scope, saved yourself, you know, a couple thousand bucks. So again, way too much. I probably just confused more people, but I'm going to reiterate one more time. I'm going to make it simple. Resolution, generally speaking, I mean, I'm sure somebody can drag up some example to prove me wrong here, but generally speaking across the board, 99% of the time, the 640 resolution is going to trump anything you've got in 384. Right. I don't care how many microns it is.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I'll say, you know, more importantly too than all of those is like you said, getting the correct magnification, you know, starting magnification and making sure that's you're right. not purchasing. In some cases, you might be purchasing resolution that you don't have the benefit of using if you're constantly having to magnify the image. So you want to, I tell people all the time, you want to buy a scope where you rarely ever are going to have to magnify the image. And so, yeah, I think magnification is may even trump all of those because you could buy a 384 resolution scope and it might be a better fit for you than the nicest scope on the market.
I agree. And I think that, you know, you've just, well, I don't know. There's so much to get into there. And I'll bring up one more thing. You know, you said this and you took the words out of my mouth talking about the firmware and, you know, the software and the thermal core and what's running everything. There's so much because the caveat to this is like, as an example, I know guys that have had 640, you know, 17 micron scopes, or maybe even like way old 25 micron. That used to be common. They'll have these scopes from several years ago and say, man, my buddy's brand new 384 looks better than this. I mean, or, you know, now, yes, when I zoom in, you know, I don't get as pixelated, but man, his scope is just so much more striking than mine. I think he can ID, but well, that's because the technology has moved way past his scope. We're not talking about anything in the last 3 or 4 years. We're talking about something way before that. Yeah. But again, folks, we have gone into this again on past shows, but you can't take the specs on paper and form a complete opinion because there's so much more under the hood, all the way from quality of the germanium, quality of the glass lens that sits in front of the germanium, the software, the display screen, the eyepiece quality. There is so many things that you know, again, you just can't look at the specs and say, okay, this tells me this scope's automatically always going to be better. So, you know, a lot of times it's going to come down to talking to somebody who's looked through all of them side by side. All right, so let's move to the next one. Here we go. This is great. I'm reading this here. This is, oh boy. Question from, I'm not going to use an accent and offend our foreign. I really wanted to, and it would butcher this.
I'd love to hear it.
Lucas from Germany. Y'all do not want to hear me do a German accent. It'd be
kind of vague. Sounds fake. Sounds like a fake name.
Well, this would be bad if I did the accent. So for Hans. Yeah. Man, I'm so trying to not say this in a terrible accent. Why do Americans try to kill sows and their offspring? Here in Germany, this is illegal. It's considered highly unethical. I don't know exactly what the laws are over there, but I do know that I've heard some Germans that get really, and I say Germans, maybe some other European companies, they get really upset when they see us on video shooting piglets and sows. It's all about the boars, and that's why when you talk to them, it's called boar hunting. I mean, they don't it like hog hunting; it's boar hunting. So, why do you do this?
Yeah, every day on my YouTube comments, I get told that I should be locked up in jail for the type of hunting that we're doing here in Texas. It is a very, I don't know if it is just a German thing or if it is a European thing, but they think it is very unethical, just like Lucas here, that you are only, you're shooting more than just the boars. And I don't think it's just, I think it has to do for reproductive, you know, there's thoughts out there that when you kill the boar, the alpha boar of a group, that it causes the group to splinter, and also causes them to reproduce more, which causes more damage. So there is that school of thought.
Opposite of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly. So there is that school of thought out there. A lot of people really subscribe to that. You know, if you're killing the alpha boar is keeping the group together, keeping other males away from the sows. So, but yeah, man, I get hate mail all the time, that you should be locked up. You know, everybody, you should have your guns taken away.
Wow.
But we do have some fans from Germany that can get past that. So yeah, we, Americans do, I guess a lot, maybe mostly Texans, it is just Western out here, and any pig that's in a field probably going to get shot at. And just for ego's sake, we're probably going to aim at the biggest one first, because and the biggest one typically is the boar. So no, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is because we just want to shoot. We like to shoot big pigs, and the big, and they're easier to hit too. I don't know. But yeah, here in the United States, especially Texas, it is the problem is all of them. And, you know, there are people out there that think that, you know, hunting with night vision and thermal is the best way to get them all taken care of. There's other people that say other methods are better. But I tell you, I've got properties that I've hunted, and I've been hunting them at night for quite a while. And you go to some of these, and there's no sign of pigs, and there hadn't been pigs there in a long time. Mm-hmm. So if you go out and shoot at them enough, they're going to get the point, and either enough of them are going to get killed, or they're going to move on and go somewhere else. But it is a very, in hunting at night, having that pressure on them at night is definitely effective. And we just want them all gone.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess it's just wanting to take care of the problem, yeah, just nip it in the bud.
I think that the difference would be, and again, I don't know exactly, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to speak to the hunting, you know, ethics and situation in another country, but I think the difference is, my understanding of it, it's the difference in trophy hunting, and it's the difference in a, you know, trying to, I don't want to say eradicate, because we know that's not going to happen, but at least control or manage, try to, you know, keep in control an exploding population, mm-hmm, of an invasive species. So
yeah,
we would not. So, okay, here we go. Americans, if we saw some guy out there and he was mowing down white-tailed deer with an AR-15, just, dude, blasting into a group of them, and they're running, right, off, dragging legs, running into the woods, and he just keeps shooting. And we'd be like, what in the world? Because those are considered a trophy animal that we manage the herds all across the country. You know, you want to kill the biggest bucks. You know, you want to kill the mature deer. You want to kill a certain number of does to keep the ratios right. You know, you want to kill the inferior buck, because we're trying to manage it, you know, like you would in some ways, a herd of anything. You know, you're trying to intentionally grow the biggest deer you can, again, and keep the herd healthy. We're not looking at wild hogs that way. We're looking at them like they're fire ants. You know, they're mice. So we don't care if it's biggest rat. We're just trying to kill all the rats.
Well, and this isn't part of this question. So Lucas from Germany, I know that did not answer your question. You're not one of the ones on YouTube that are telling that I should be in jail and all this stuff. I see it on everybody. But I'm going to expand this rant a little bit too.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Because the guys on YouTube that comment on hog hunting videos and they say one shot, one kill. If you can't, you know, if you can't drop a pig with one shot, then you should give up all your, mm-hmm, weapons and never, mm-hmm, hunt again. That tells me two things. Either you've never hog hunted before, or you are, no, it tells me three things. Either you've never hog hunted before.
This is great. Boy, you're digging a hole. I love it.
Never hog hunted before. You only go to the range and shoot pieces of paper, so you're awesome at killing pieces of paper, or you play Call of Duty and you're like the number one,
wow,
Call of Duty person in your, wow, little with the video group.
Is there an unsubscribe button we should tell people about? Because they're going to be hitting it now. Well, you've just ticked off all these people.
If you want to hang a sign around your neck that says, I've never hog hunted before, go and start talking about one shot, one kill when you're talking about hog hunting. Yeah. Because that, if you hog hunt enough, that is not a reality. It is not a reality. And we got to stop with that talk, y'all. We cannot do that because it's not... it's just not going to happen. But anyway, I don't mean to go off on that rant, but that's hilarious. Most of the comments on YouTube are great. You know, a lot of my stuff is now just focused around, doing some of the hunts and also do the review. So I combine hunting and review videos together. So, you know, we've done pretty well with that, but thank you for Lucas. I will still shoot the sows and the offspring. I can't promise I'm not, but, you know, the boars, I'm going to shoot big boars too. I'm going to shoot all of them.
You're going to shoot them all.
What's the next question? I feel like I'm digging my hole. I'm going to dig a hole too far. I would get talking about YouTube comments and stuff, but anyway, I'm going to do the next one. Okay. This one is for Jason. Steve from Valdosta.
Could you not pick guys that are just like from, you know, Houston or somewhere, you know, Kansas City, easy stuff?
I'm trying to pronounce them phonetically. Is that correct?
Phonetically?
Phonetically, like phonics. Sounded out the way it looked.
Fucked on honics worked for me.
Yeah. So Valdosta, but you know, every area has their own twang to it. So that, you know, who knows? Valdosta, Georgia. Anyway. Okay. Thank you guys for all the information you give on the show. One thing that you haven't spoken about is how you're coming up with the field of view. And we all, you know, we always talk about field of view on the specs for the reviews. When I look at field of view on spec sheets, it's always in degrees. How do you come up with field of view in feet? Thanks, guys.
Okay. I'm going to tell you the secret. I wish that you hadn't put this in here. And I'm going to tell you why, because this is a trick that I learned and it wasn't that long ago. I mean, it's been within the last year or two, and it's such an easy trick and it makes people think you're really smart. And if y'all know me, really smart is not something I've been accused of. So
you've really hyped this up. I hope this little math equation is correct.
hey, trust me. If my high school math teacher was here, she'd be impressed. Yeah. I could do this math, all right? And it's easy, I promise. So, all right, I'm going to tell you what it is. No, not. I'm going to tell you a quick story first, then I'm going to tell you this. All right. So, I can say this because they're not in this business anymore. When FLIR came out with the Thermosight Pros, that was a thermal scope, you know, long gone. Ditt FLIR is no longer in the thermal hunting business anymore. They had the Thermosight Pro PTS 233, 536, and 736. Well, the 536 and the 736 had extremely narrow field of view. They were high magnification, 4 power, 6 power. Well, I wanted to know what the field of view was. Well, all they could give it to me was in degrees. And I was like, I know, but that doesn't help me. And I'm like a layman. You know, you just got to, I need something that, well, all they could give is degrees. So I knew a guy that worked for FLIR and he was in sales pretty high up. And so I called him. I was like, hey, listen, man, you got to help me. I said, I don't, you know, we didn't have the scopes yet. I couldn't go out there and test it myself. I said, I really want to know. I've got some guys wearing me out about this. And he said, let me get with some engineers. Let me see what we can find. Like, engineers. Oh, man. He's like, we're going to figure this out. I'm like, okay. So I didn't know this trick. And this is, again, several years ago. And long story short, it took about 45 days. Well, by this point, I'd already gone out with a tape measure and figured out what it was. You know, have one kid stand on this side, one kid stand on the other, and did the math. I figured out what, well, they gave it to me, and, you know, my kids did a pretty good job with the tape measure, and it was actually about what we got. And so he was like, man, I'm sorry. He said, I had two engineers that, you know, they it just took forever to get the answers out of them, and it's not easy to do. And he was going on with this whole big explanation, like, okay, man, I get it, whatever. Well, come to find out, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because I can tell you how to do it and it works. And now I always give my caveats every single time I say something. There's going to be some exception somebody's going to find. But so far, since I learned this a couple years ago, I have yet to find an exception to this rule. Here's what you do. Very simple. Take the degrees. Okay. So they're going to give you the degrees of the field of view. Let's say it's 9. All right. So it's 9-degree field of view. Multiply that times 5.25. You're going to get 47.25. That means the field of view is 47.25 feet at 100 yards. That's it. That's your horizontal field of view. 100. So that's 6-degree field of view. Multiply times 5.25, 31.5 feet. That's what it is. It works every time. Every time I've ever tried it. Again, I've worked it backwards. You know, Pulsar is really good about giving the field of view in feet on their scopes. And so I've worked all theirs backwards. It works. It's legit. That's the real deal. And so that's all there is to it. If you ever see the field of view listed in degrees somewhere, and you're trying to figure out what that really is, just multiply it times 5.25. It's that number of feet, again, at 100 yards. And I'll just go ahead and I'll give you this little trick. It seems obvious in some ways, but some people think it's not. So, you can make it more complicated. It's really not. If you want to know the field of view, like you say, well, okay, that's great. It's at 100 yards, but I don't shoot at 100. I'm only going to shoot at 50. Okay, divide it in half. That's what it's it's linear. So, I was talking to a guy today and he made the comment. We were talking about the Wraith HD 4 Power. Mm-hmm. It's got a 21-foot field of view at 100 yards. He doesn't own any thermal or night vision. He goes, man, that's big. I said, 21 foot is super narrow. He goes if I'm hunting over a feeder at 100 yards, I can see 20 foot. That's a lot. And I said, what if you're hunting over a feeder at 50 yards? I said, it's 10.5 foot. And he goes, okay. And I said, what if you got a feeder that's at 25 yards? I said, it's 5.25 feet. I said, what that means is the feeder legs are, you can't even see both feeder legs. They're going out of the side. And he was like, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. And I was like, yeah. So anyway, we were just laughing about field of view. So it is important. I think it's the most, I think it's the spec on thermal scopes and night vision scopes that is the most, underrated, but not talked about, overlooked. That's the word, overlooked. People just, they don't even think about it, and it's such a big deal.
Yep.
And the very last trick I'm going to tell you, it's not a trick. It's just a piece of information. I'm throwing it out there. The mistake that people make in thermals, and I hear this every day on the phone. I'm sure you do too, Hans, and I get it. Coming from the daytime optic world, this doesn't compute. In the nighttime world, a larger objective lens does not equal a wider field of view if you also went up in magnification. So I had a guy that told me, he said, I'm not buying anything less than a 50 millimeter lens because I want field of view. And he starts talking to me about 3 and 4 power scopes, and he believed that they had a much wider field of view than 38 and 42 millimeter 2 and 2.5 power scopes. So anyway, that's another discussion for another day. Maybe a listener question sometime want us to get into that a little more, but the larger diameter lens doesn't automatically mean a wider field of view. So there we go. That's right. just a little tidbit. All right. Now I got you a question here. Let's see what this is. All right. Question from Doug in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hans, love all the scope talk. Jason, hang on, I can't even read my question. Oh, okay. Love all the scope talk, Jason and Hans, but y'all hardly talk about suppressors. Hans, what is your favorite brand and why?
Yeah, that's, we don't talk a lot about suppressors. I'm going to tell you, rifles get me excited. bolt action rifles, AR style rifles get me excited. Obviously, optics, thermal, night vision optics get me excited. Ammo gets me excited. Suppressors does not get me excited.
They get me excited to use them.
To use them, but as far as talk, so I got a rifle sitting right here. Here's my suppressor. All you can see is the top of the suppressor. But so I use this one is a Dead Air Sandman TI. Great suppressor. They don't make it anymore.
So they don't? You can't.
No, they don't make the Sandman TI. Yeah, yeah. They make the Nomads now. There's so many different, like, Dead Air is a great brand. I know I've got a Silencer Co. Omega 3 on the way. Jason, you've got one or two of those Omega 3s?
I got two Omega 300s. I've got the Sandman TI.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a Nomad on the way.
That's right.
And I think that's all.
But Dead Air is great. I've got the Silencer Co. Omega 300 that is coming that Jason likes a lot. You know, they're direct threads. I know with the Omega 300, you can use the adapter. There's an adapter that you can put on muzzle brakes or muzzle flash hider or whatever that goes on the end of the barrels that you can use to get it on and off quicker. But, yeah, I mean, I don't get all wrapped up in the different brands and the – to me, they all sound the same, and I'm probably, because I'm deaf, and I've shot unsuppressed for too long when I was younger, but, I mean, I don't know. Suppressors are, there's so many of them, and there's so many, different different models of each brand. I know, some for 30 calibers, some for smaller calibers, direct thread, I know the Q has got some really good suppressors, and they make really, really good stuff, high-end rifles. I'd love to have one of their rifles. But, yeah, I mean, suppressors, we could probably do a show about that, but that show would probably last about 10 minutes. So.
Yeah, I think that, my opinion, for whatever this is worth, is about what Hans is. But I talked to a guy that has had suppressors longer than anybody I know. I don't know how many he owns. I think at one point it's probably close to 20. And I mean, he's been into this forever. And when I got ready to buy one, I picked up the phone. I called him. I said, man, listen, I don't know what to buy. What do you suggest? And he said, I said, you got all these, which one? And he said, listen, and he kind of walked me through this kind of like we do, people buying thermal scopes. Mm-hmm. He was like, first of all, you need to call a really good dealer. You need to call somebody that knows everything about these. Don't just go down to the local shop that might sell them that, doesn't. He goes, you need to talk to somebody who knows. So that's what I did. I talked to a dealer who says all they do. And but his advice was, he said, man, I'm just going to tell you the truth. He said, I got all these different cans. He said, if you carried me out to the range and you started screwing these things on and you blindfolded me and you started shooting, he said, I can't tell the difference. He goes, there's one that might have this little different sound than the, he goes, but I can't pick it out of a lineup. Mm-hmm. And he said, he's like, you can get the decibel meter. And I got a couple that I would say are definitely louder. And I got a couple on the other spectrum that I would say are definitely quieter. He said, but they all blend together, And so he really gave me this peace of mind. And he was like, listen, it's a lifetime purchase. You're never going to sell it. You're going to own this till the day you die. And he said, buy a good name brand, somebody who's going to back up the product. If you have a problem with it, that there's somebody going to be there. He goes, don't go get your brother-in-law's cousin who can, make one. And he's like, no. He said, go get a legit brand that's going to be around when you need them. And, then after that, he's like, six of one, half dozen the other. Decide if you want direct thread or not. And so I decided that everything I bought was going to be direct thread. Because that way I don't have to buy adapters to go from, one to the other and back. I can everything's got a thread on it. It does not take me long to unscrew those things. And I move them around. And so that's the way I went. I bought two of the Omegas, and I'll tell that quick story. I got ready. I already had a Sandman TI. I had an Omega, and I was ready to buy the third can. And I'll just tell you, I mean, I'll give you the shout out. I buy everything from Capital Armory over in Austin, Texas. The great, great guys. This is what they do. This is all they do. And they're awesome. Anyway, I called them. I'm talking like, man, this is what, I mean, I've got. And I was like, a big deal for me is I want them short. That's just my thing. I said, I don't want this big 9, 10, 12-inch can hanging off my rifle. I mean, I'm shooting, you know, pistols or SBRs, so I want them short. I want this short. Yeah. And that's really why I like the Omega. I run it with a flat cap, not the baffle cap on there. And I said, man, what should I get? And he goes, buy another Omega 300. I was like, wow. I said, I've already got one. And he was like, you just described everything you wanted. And you like one, you, I mean, you like the one you got, buy another. And I was like, I know, but it feels like I'm only going to own a few of these and I'm going to own them forever. And he was like, hey, you know, if you just want to buy a different one to buy it, fine. And it was like, but if you know you like this, go for it. And so that's what I did. I bought another one and I've never regretted it. Not at all. It's like, hey, it does what I want. It's short. Mm-hmm. It sounds good. And I like it. I'm happy with it. So I'm with you. I love suppressors. I don't get into all the talking about them when a new one comes out. I don't run, go drool over them personally, but I don't want to shoot anything without them. I can tell you that.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm glad we have them. I wish it was like Europe. Anybody could have one and own one. But you know what I like talking about or is how different ammo sounds through the same suppressor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me is interesting and velocity and all that kind of stuff. So, but no, we use suppressors. And Jason's right. Name brand. You know, there's a lot of good companies out there, but, you know, with all the different models, you probably don't want to come to us or me, especially for, which suppressor is going to be right for you. I'd just say, pick the name brand and whether you want direct
thread. I would say go find a really good dealer. I mean, we specialize in night vision and thermal. And
if you want to talk about SCOs, we can talk all day long.
Yeah, but I'm serious. I mean, go find somebody who is what we do in night vision and thermal. Go find those guys for suppressors. They exist. There are small businesses, you know, all over your state that this is what they do. You know, and if it's your local gun shop, and they know about them and they can do, you know, go support them. I'm all about supporting local gun shops, but you know, you do want to find guys that really understand them and know about all the different optics. Hey, we got to get this show going. I told you we couldn't do 10 questions. We're going to run out of time. See, we only got six. So what's next?
This next question, the second to the last question, this is from Kale in Alabama. This is how I know this is fake. There's nobody named Kale in Alabama. Okay. It's definitely fake. I heard that there's a 1280 resolution thermal is going to be hitting the market soon. Is there any truth to that? If it isn't true, will we ever see a 1280 thermal available for everyday folks? And the man that's got the crystal ball that has his finger on the pulse of the industry, our resident thermal and night vision expert,
who surely has multiple, you know, non-disclosure legal binding agreements signed that he cannot break.
Oh, man, does that mean yes?
That means I can say this. Yes. There will be a 1280 high resolution thermal scope at some point. I can't tell you when, because I don't know. I can't speak too much more than that. What I can say is right now, if you want to buy a 1280 thermal sensor, not in a scope, just buy the sensor. And I think, you know, maybe it's attached to a display screen, maybe it's not, you can do that for $30,000. And that will, and literally, you're getting this little thing that you can hold in the palm of your hand that has got some wires and some, you know, got a circuit board. And yeah, 30 grand will get you a 1280 sensor. It's going to happen. That I don't know when, and I really don't know what it'll be. I don't think it's going to be cheap. I don't think it's going to be for the common man. I do think that eventually we might see that. I mean, I would say there's not a lot of talk about it right now. I mean, it's so when it does come, I think it's going to be very expensive. And I don't see, and I'm saying all this, I'll be so wrong, but I don't see, you know, whatever, Pulsar and AGM and Bearing and iRaid. Everybody's not sitting around Envision, you know, Trigica. Nobody's talking about these things really. We do know iRaid has one of these sensors. That's who's making this $30,000 sensor. So I just don't think we're going to see every brand having one of these things in the next, you know, 12 months. I think once somebody gets one, that opens the door and, you know, somebody else can get one. And so anyway, I'm just rambling here. I think it'll happen. I think they'll start be very expensive. I don't want to put a timeline on it, but I think it will be a very long time before you're buying a $3,500 1280 thermal sensor. I think that's going to be a long time down the road. So I'll be excited. I want to be the first guy to test one, but I hope that I don't have to, you know, mortgage my house to get the thing. So we'll see.
As long as I get a demo, that's all I care about. So it doesn't matter.
I'll let you come over when I open the safe and you can look in at it, but you can't touch it.
Can't touch it. Yeah.
Yeah. You can take a picture of it. All right.
We got the last question.
We got to get this going. All right. This question is from Josh in Fairbury. Could you not come up with anybody in a normal town? Fairbury, something. He's from Nebraska.
We only got 7 listener questions to choose from, and the last one was talking about my favorite, you know, underwear. Is it briefs or boxers? So I had to leave that one out. So these are the other 6.
All right. We got Josh in Nebraska. How about that? Questions for Hans. Love the show, guys. Have a question for Hans, Mr. Executive Producer. Ha ha.
Thank you. Finally getting the respect that I deserve. Right. Okay. Thank
respect
you, Josh.
You do not deserve.
You're getting a free cap. Free cap.
What is plan B when YouTube shuts down all the hunting video channels? Well, that ain't good. I don't even want to think about it. So what is plan B? I have some comments on this. Love to hear what you have to say.
No idea. No, yeah. There's, you know, honestly, y'all out there listening, Jason and I don't want to say we talk about this a lot, but regularly we do talk about kind of the state of media, social media, YouTube included, you know, with videos being flagged. I get videos flagged quite a bit or somewhat censored where they ad restricted, or, you know, it's just ways to not push the content out. It's something that we've dealt with for a long time. And if you are on social media and you put up hunting videos, you probably know too, that this is not getting better. It's getting worse. There's different platforms that pop up from time to time. We all have heard about them. Different video platforms like Full 30, another one called Rumble. What I don't like is this, where all of a sudden we're like, okay, everybody needs to go sign up for this platform. So everybody runs up, creates an account, and nothing happens with it. And it's just a waste of time. And then like, oh no, we're not doing that one now. We're doing this one. And so everybody goes to this other platform and creates this, you know, account. So, you know, Jason and I have talked a lot about this, and we would love to be able to host our own videos. You know, I don't know how feasible that is, you know, being able to make sure that our content is protected and not, making sure that we are the boss of our own content and nobody manages our content and has the authority to take our content down. That takes a lot of,
to be able to find the content. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, you can go build servers and host at your house. Doesn't do any good if nobody can
What YouTube does, it helps attract new listeners, new viewers, new people that are interested in what we do. And they're attracted to us by the search, because YouTube's got such a great search tool that you type in anything related to what you're trying to do, and you've got a 100 different videos to choose from. Well, obviously, YouTube ranks those. There's a lot of different ways that they rank those, but popularity of the creator, ads enabled, a lot of different things. Anyway, so we've benefited. I wouldn't say the podcast hasn't benefited from that, but my YouTube channel, Hans East Texas, has benefited from that more than anything, with being able to get suggested, because we do have ads turned on. And if you watch our late night vision show on YouTube and there's ads running before it or after it, it's not because we put them there.
We don't get a penny from that.
We've made 186 episodes and we have not put any ads or tried to put any ads on any of our videos because we're doing so to try to stay off the radar. And when you start trying to make money off YouTube, you're basically shining a big light on yourself. So we do not want to put ads on any of our podcast videos, but I do know that sometimes people are playing our show and seeing ads, and that's definitely not us. But as far as the question, there is no plan B at this point, but I hope
it's not
at some
because
point
we don't think it's a serious question either. We
it is. And it's something we talk about a lot, but like I said, we got to get away from this run into every little thing that pops up and, you know, trying to see if that fit. There needs to be one.
There does. And I want to bring this up. I know it's your question, but it's something that has plagued me for a long time. And I'm not going to get into my whole theory on this, but I will say it in a nutshell. This is something the entire hunting and shooting industry is going to have to get behind. Hans's point is valid. So some college kid can go out tomorrow and create some new platform that's going to be for hunting videos, and it's great, and he's got a, you know, $5,000 budget to go put this website up, and it's great, but nobody knows about it. Well, a few people here, and they, you know, again, you run out there, upload a few videos, nobody knows about it. Okay, fine. So there's some videos, but there's not many videos. There's nobody going there to watch the videos, so it just flips and flops, and it's a done deal, and it dies, and it goes away. The only way this is going to happen, this is my opinion, we're too far down the internet, down this trail, for some random guy to go out and create the new YouTube and it blow up. Now, there may be something new that's different than YouTube and happen, but to replicate that, it's going to have to come with organization from competitors, from people that, you know, compete against each other, but all have the same interest of the hunting and outdoor industry. And I'm talking about big names. I mean, we'll contribute. I'll give money. I mean, but it's going to have to come from the little bitty guys all the way up to the biggest. And if everybody's got to be able to willing to get in the same room and say, somebody's got to create it. You know, somebody, some organization, you know, I don't know. I don't say the NRA, who knows what they'll do. Somebody like that, though, that can get everybody in the same room, create this, and then get the support from everybody. Because otherwise, we're going to keep doing the same thing. So, some little something's going to pop up and be gone 15 minutes later.
Two things, and then we'll wrap up the show. The first thing is that if you all remember Parler,
I knew that was coming,
Here's the problem with what happened with Parler. It was everybody stopped using the tweet, you know, doing the Twitter thing, and then everybody jumped over to Parler. Well, Amazon Web Services just stopped supporting that website.
They
just shut it down.
Yeah, they couldn't get hosting.
They just shut it down. I mean, so, you know, that's one of the situations is
huge.
You know, we're up against a lot in the hunting industry to be able to do this and be able to do it effectively. But the other thing is, as competitors, other, you know, with us other thermal companies being competitors, and with other hunters that are trying to get notoriety in the industry, you know, that are trying to get, you know, work their way up, we've got to stop going after each other, meaning our videos, my videos, get reported by competitors in the industry, probably more and just as much as any PETA or animal rights person or anything.
Sure.
It's other people in the industry that are going after each other and reporting each other's stuff and trying to be competitive.
Third grade stuff.
We're doing when we, and I've never done it. I know you've never done it. I've never even given a thumbs down to any video on YouTube ever.
No.
And, but whenever we start reporting, I say we, the industry, we start reporting our own videos because we want that competitor to not get the exposure, or we're, you know, trying to do whatever. We're just creating our, just a terrible situation for ourselves that we're bringing on ourselves, unfortunately. So yeah, those were the two things. But anyway, well, I appreciate the question. There's something we think about a lot. It's concerning, and I hope we can do something about it.
I agree. Well, okay. So we've got a long show. We've gone long on our six questions. I'm so glad we didn't go with 10. Folks, listen, we hope you enjoyed the show. It's been, you know, kind of a fun, laid-back show. Again, a little different than some other stuff, but we do like doing these shows. So if you have questions that you'd like to hear, you know, us answer, again, leave them in the comments, send us an email, do something, you know, however you want to do it. Send us a, you know, a private message on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. We want to hear from you. And we want to know, you know, if there's questions that y'all'd like to hear us discuss on here. We'll do our best to try to answer them. Again, we know it's Thanksgiving Day when this is airing. You may be listening to it after the fact, but we just want to say, you know, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. As Hans alluded to early in the video, we are very, very thankful, and we're thankful for all the blessings that we have been given individually, as a business, as a country. And we know that, you know, we have just got so many things. I mean, I'd like to start listing things, like so much to be thankful for, but we are very thankful for all of that. And again, as Hans said, we're thankful for y'all. We would not be doing this show if it wasn't for y'all. And so it means a lot for all the listeners and the people who have given us your business at Outdoor Legacy, because as Hans and I have said before, you know, without Outdoor Legacy, there is no late night vision show. Without people buying scopes from Outdoor Legacy, there's no late night vision show. So not to turn it into one just big commercial, but that's really what, you know, fuels the show. So it means a lot. We get so many phone calls, emails, and even just guys that go on the website, place the order, and I have comments all the time. Hey, love the show. Watch it. Thanks for the help. Knew right what to buy, you know? So it really means a lot to us. And we really, really appreciate it. You know, you're here. If you're on YouTube, go ahead and click the subscribe button if you already hadn't. That way you'll be alerted when there's new shows, which we release every Thursday. You can find all the past episodes, information about the show at thelatenightvisionshow.com. So if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcast or, you know, any of those, Google Play, and you want to see some of the videos, you can either go to YouTube, or again, you can go over to thelatenightvisionshow.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, all the social medias. You can find Hans there as well. Just search for Hans ETX, H-A-N-S-E-T-X on YouTube as well as Instagram, where he hangs out posting pictures and videos and stuff all the time. You can find Outdoor
Legacy.
It's too busy now. I know. Yeah. You can find Outdoor Legacy at outdoorlegacygear.com. Already given the phone number, 877-350-1818. Folks, we really appreciate you, and we hope you had a very good Thanksgiving and that you didn't eat too much turkey.
Episode 186 is in the books, y'all. Thank you so much. We will be back next week, back to normal scheduled broadcasting, talking about more scopes, night vision, and thermal. We've got a big rest of the year coming up. It's jam-packed, stuff happening every week, new scopes, old scopes, best scopes. So y'all stay tuned in. Episode 187 next week, next Thursday, every Thursday. Y'all take care. Stay safe in the fields. Keep making them bacon pancakes.